back, ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Just so excited to announce that Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism, the man behind the voice of evangelism, the author of Revelation 13 revealed in the book of Jude, is going to be our regular guest for this segment every Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesdays with Pastor David Langford. And this is, as so many of you have written in, emailed us, said, hey, we need this regular session with Pastor David Langford. So we delivered. We actually asked Pastor Langford if he could give us his gift of time, and he agreed to do so. And right now, I think he's on the road, but he's with us nonetheless. And we're just so thankful that he's agreed to do this. And we're going to be talking, or we're going to be getting to Pastor Langford in just one moment. I want to direct everyone's attention to MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com. If you haven't gone there yet, they've got we always talk about the Rocket Stove, which is just a fantastic product, the Rocket Stove. But this American company, this company based in North Carolina, if you go to MinutemanStove.com, that's MinutemanStove.com, check out their cast iron cook set. Check out their other products. Their fire starters, which we have, we use them, they're incredible. Just all kinds of different products, including, well, the Maya sticks, the fat wood fire starters, the deluxe sustainable lighting and power package, incredible. But of course, the premier, the big product, the Rocket Stove. That Rocket Stove is just a fantastic product. And folks, if you're expecting a power outage or some disruption, perhaps, you really need a utensil or an item to cook on. This Minuteman Rocket Stove is the best of the best of the best. We have one. We use it. We can attest to the fact that it is the Cadillac of all rocket stoves. That's MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com. And I just, again, you just have to go to MinutemanStove.com and check out their array of products. But by far, their rocket stove is the best. Deuteronomy, folks. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Just let me direct you there to this verse. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Receive that in a email from Pastor Langford today, that verse, and that will be the subject of our discussion tonight, part of it anyway.
Pastor Langford, it's great to have you on the show, and really looking forward to having you on each and every Wednesday. What a fabulous addition this will be. It's great to have you back on.
Well, Joe and Doug, both, it is a great joy for me to be here with you, and we are profusely humbled that you would allow us to come and serve with you in this capacity. We have just arrived here in Nashville, Tennessee, where we're going to be having a conference this Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday at seedtimeharvestministries.net or .com. I forget which one it is, but if people will go there, they can see that, and we're anticipating a visitation of God. But again, it is a great joy for us to be with you each Wednesday night now and to share the Word of God, because we are living, and as the Scripture, Doug, has already shared, God made it very clear, therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. And, of course, the seed speaks of our children, and needless to say, we are certainly at a crossroads in this nation. And as most people know, I am not politically correct when it comes to the Word of God or the Scriptures, for that fact. And, you know, I know people have their differences with Donald Trump, and I certainly have a plethora of differences with Hillary Clinton. But, you know, the Bible is clear. God ordains and God chooses whom and what and how he wills to do certain things. And there's a reason that God does things in the way he does. And 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And I want to look at that verse 28, 1 Corinthians 1:28, things which are despised. Now, I know that Donald Trump is a man that is greatly despised of the media. 91% of the media and their time is to castigate and to bash and impinge Donald Trump. If I were selecting a man for president, personally, he would not be my first choice. But I don't make the choice. You see, I believe God has ordained two people to run for the presidency of the United States. I believe God eliminated everyone to bring us to a literal crossroads. And I want to say this, and I know that I will anger some, and Doug and Joe, you'll probably get some negative feedback from this, but I do not see how a Christian, a professing Christian, can vote for death and say, I'm a child of God. Now, the last debate, Donald Trump made it very clearly, his disposition on Roe v. versus Wade. He even brought up the fact that you can wait 2 to 3 days before the child is born and then take 2/3 of the child out of the mother's womb. And, of course, he didn't go into this detail, but I will. Put the forceps in the back of the child's skull, suck its brains out, and then pull the head out and say that is an abortion. On the flip side, Hillary Clinton says she's concerned about women's health care. What a lie straight out of hell. That has nothing to do with health care. That has everything to do with murder. If you go ahead and pull the child's head out of the mother's womb and take a 2-pound ball peen hammer and bash its brains out, then the law will say you have just committed a murder. But as long as you do it inside, and I'll be plain here, the prepuce of a woman's genitalia, and kill it that in that degree, it's okay. It's okay. And God, through his divine choice, has chosen whom he has determined to be the two people to run for the presidency of this United States. You know, Joe and Doug, I find it tremendously amazing how that, his name slips my mind. Who was the guy running against Hillary during the campaign? The liberal socialist.
What was that, Pastor Langford? Yeah, can you repeat that?
Who was the guy running for against Hillary in the campaign?
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders, yeah. Isn't it amazing how Bernie Sanders castigated Hillary Clinton to no end, and now all of a sudden he's campaigning for her? If this is not a portrait, a picture of hypocrisy, lying, cheating, stealing, thieving, hypocrites, I don't know what is. And God is giving us a choice. As he said to the children of Israel, I call heaven and earth, and as a record or a witness, this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. How much more plainer could the implications have been when God said, in that debate, Donald Trump said life, Hillary Clinton said death, and people are going to make a decision. And I'm concerned. I'm concerned, as Jesus well said in Matthew 15:8-9, this people draweth nigh me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Tim Kaine says he's a Christian. Hillary Clinton says she has a Christian background as a Methodist. Donald Trump purports he's a Presbyterian. But let's take away the veneer. Let's take away religion. Let's look at what they're saying they're going to stand for and embrace. Let's take all the veneers, all the facades, all the covering. Let's just strip that all away, and let's listen to what they say. And one is telling you, I'm for death under the auspices of women's health care. And the other says, I'm for life. And as I said, God can raise up anyone, anybody, any place, anytime, at his own choosing. You know, we forget who's in control. God has given us these two people as a choice. Now, you got to go back to 1 Samuel when Israel rejected theocracy. In other words, God wanted a theocratic government, which simply meant, I am God, I speak to you, I tell you what you're going to do, how you're going to live, etc. They said, no, we want a king. We want to be like the other nations. We want a king. And so God told Samuel, he said, Samuel, they have not rejected you. They have rejected me. And so Psalms chapter 75, God makes it clear that he raises them up and he pulls them down. So God, whether we like it or not, has raised up both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and said, now here are your two presidential candidates. Now make your decision. Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? And as a Christian, you know, I can't legislate righteousness. I can't make a man not smoke dope. I cannot make a man not drink liquor. I cannot make a man not commit adultery or a woman do the same thing. All I can do is preach against the sin. You cannot legislate godliness. You cannot legislate righteousness. You live it because you have a love for the Lord. I live for God because I love him. I live for him because, first of all, he was so gracious to me. Had he been anyone else, he would have let me die in my sins and my days of craziness and foolishness and sinfulness, but he was merciful to me, a sinner. So I owe my life to him in every sense of the word. But, you know, Psalm 75 and 6 says, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. I want to share a little insight I got some weeks ago about government. God destroyed the Egyptian government but delivered the people of Israel. God destroyed the Babylonian government when Belshazzar was the king of Babylon, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. God destroyed the government and freed his people Israel after their 70 years of Babylonian captivity. My point in saying that is God can destroy the government and save his people. You see, because that's how divine God is. As a matter of fact, that night, Darius, the Medo-Persian Empire, Darius and then Cyrus, the two split the kingdom in the end, the Medo-Persian Empire. And it was Cyrus who suffered Israel to go back, and he helped Israel rebuild Jerusalem that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed 70 years before that. So God has always been involved in government. You know, some governments have been evil. Because of Israel's rejection, God allowed Adolf Hitler to be raised up and to slaughter masses and millions of Jews and scatter them throughout the nations of the earth. Why? He said, that's what's going to happen to you because you have rejected me. The same thing is going to happen to America if we make the wrong decision, you know. So it's not about politics at the end of the day. It's about living right and making a godly decision of what we're going to do. God has always been involved in governments. God has been the one. That Romans 13 has truly been misrepresented and misinterpreted, but God is the one who establishes government to keep us from having the personification of anarchy. you see. But 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication and prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So it is God who establishes the kings of the kingdoms. It is God who gave Daniel the revelation knowledge of the empires, with Nebuchadnezzar being the tree stump or trunk, however you want to term it. And then he went through the remainder of the kingdoms, Babylonian, and then the Medo-Persian, and then the Grecian, and then Rome, and then there will be this one final push for a one-world government and a one-world ecumenical movement. And so this is the path we're headed on. But God is merciful to give us an opportunity to change our ways. You know, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not will to destroy us. God says, I set before you life and death. You make the choice. You make the choice. You make the choice. You make the decision. So, you know, I want to make the decision of life. I want to be a part of God confers life, not man. God confers life. So I think we're, you know, Doug, you and I talked in the email about the divisiveness of this nation. That was what the Lord put in my spirit in January on my 21-day fast, was that everyone would become a sheep or a goat. You're witnessing it. You watched in these debates a goat and a sheep. You witnessed it. And I don't want to be a goat, because if you'll read Matthew 25, when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, he's going to separate the sheep and the goat nations and going to sentence the goat nations unto everlasting destruction and eternal separation from God. There again, that is a choice. That is a choice, and God is going to do that. So I just think we need to be very mindful of what we're doing, you know, and keep the right godly perspective.
No, you're absolutely right.
Amen to that.
Pastor Langford, in the divisiveness and the division is growing, and it seems to have intensified tremendously during this last year, during this election cycle. And Reverend Flip Benham was on just before you in the last hour, and he was talking about how he can't wait until, you know, November 9th, the day after. And I'm sure most of the people who pay attention to the news and the media can't wait till the election's over due to the constant coverage and the lies and just all the shenanigans that are going on.
But Pastor, I really think that even with that, this, you know, once the election is over, I truly believe that our work, as, especially as Christians, conservatives, but Christians especially, is going to just be beginning. It's going to be just the start, regardless of who gets in.
Absolutely, Doug. This is, you see, we serve in our generation. In Acts chapter 13, verse 36 says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. In other words, he literally ruined and decayed. But Jesus, of course, was raised from the dead, and he saw no corruption. That's the analogy there in that passage. But it says that David served his own generation by the will of God. No matter who is elected does not negate our serving the Lord and our generation. Even if Hillary Clinton goes in, that means we have to be more determined for the light of Jesus Christ to shine. If Donald Trump goes in, I believe it is an element of reprieve. You see, Josiah is our example of God and his judgment. God was going to pour out judgment on Israel. And they were digging in the temple, and they found the book of the law. And so when they found this book of the law, they went and they read it to Josiah. And Josiah, the Bible says he literally rent his garment. And he said, you know, we're going to fast and we're going to pray and we're going to seek God. And because he did these godly things, God said to him, he said, because you have humbled yourself in my sight and you have done the right things, he said, I will not allow this judgment to come in your lifetime. But after you die, I'm going to allow this judgment to come. You'll find all that in 2 Kings chapter 22. And so Israel was ripe for judgment. They were so ripe for judgment, it begs description. But when the word of God was read to Josiah, he rent his clothes because he realized how greatly that Israel had sinned against God. And he says in 2 Kings 22:20, behold, therefore I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. So because he humbled himself, the Bible says, he wept, he tore down the pagan gods, he tore down the groves, he tore down the altars of Baal, and did all of the righteous things that a righteous king would do. But after he died, God still allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and to destroy Jerusalem. What he basically did was delayed it one generation. He did all the right things. Now, what does that mean? That means to me, if Donald Trump is elected, God could delay this judgment on America a generation. Now, if you can argue a generation, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever, I'm not going to get into a generation. I could, but it's too technical to get into that. But the point is, a generation. Some people say a generation fundamentally is from the time, Doug, that you were married and you had Joe, and now Joe's an adult. That's a generation. So that's the time span from the time of your conceiving and bearing him until the time he becomes an adult male, 20, 25 years of age. That's the argument about the length and the breadth of a generation. But we do know that after Josiah died, God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and to destroy Israel. Now, the reason I say that is because guys like myself, I don't use ATM cards. I don't know how to use a cell phone that well at all. I'm not computer literate whatsoever. So I'm an obstacle to the furtherance of technology. But my kids are all acclimating, and all the kids that are little are acclimating to computers and technology and everything. So the mark of the beast is going to be so simple, so easy to be put into force and to affect everyone's life. You know, now we're getting these little doodads you put on your cell phone and you can pay your bill at the cash register with your phone. Well, you know, I have no clue how to do that. I'm not going to learn how to do that. I'm 61 years of age. But my point is, we're not to that stage of technology yet. The technology is there, but it's not fully implemented. They want everybody to do online banking. You know, I get my power bill. They want me to pay my power bill online. Well, I still write a check and send it in the mail. My telephone bill, they want me to pay it online. I still write a check and send it in the mail. We're coming to this. And remember, folks, it was 25 years ago, this year, a quarter of a century ago, we heard the term at the Congressional House with the war with Iraq, And George Bush won, George Herbert Walker Bush won, said New World Order. All right, that's been a quarter of a century. These things don't happen overnight. It is a process. It is time. You've heard me talk about Chronos. That is the succession of time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then you have the Greek word kairos, is a divine appointed time when foreordained events must come to pass. So the Chronos brings us to the kairos. So there is a divine appointed time when the mark of the beast will be implemented. And up to that point in time, we're in the chronology or the Chronos of it coming to pass. And once you reach that point, it's what we hear the term, it's a point of no return. You can't go back. That time has been reached. It's like a dead man walking. You've heard that term in prison terms, a dead man walking.
Yeah, for somebody on death row. And sorry to jump in here, Pastor Langford, but we are at our middle of the hour break. We're going to take that break now. Folks, you're listening to Pastor David Langford on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. And folks, you can listen to Pastor Langford. He has a radio show of his own, and you can visit his website, thevoiceofevangelism.com, and his radio show is on Blog Talk Radio, and you can get the podcast through his website. Go to hagmanandhagman.com to get his website link, or go right to The Voice of Evangelism. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Hagman and Hagman Report. What a powerful segment. What a powerful program tonight. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining with us and for staying with us. I did receive information, folks, as you know, during the program, our website, HagmanReport.com, was down. I did get information from the our ISP, 1,000 hits per second to our website for a while. Almost cooked one of their servers. They were very nice about it, but imagine that, 1,000 hits per second. And my question was it a DDoS or a denial of service attack? And the answer was, you know what? It didn't look that way. It looked like valid page inquiries, and they explained it to me. I don't know. But in answer to my question, was an attack. No, it didn't look that way. So apparently, there was some talk, some traffic redirects, some discussion from redirects from perhaps between stevequayle.com, Drudge, and InfoWars. So, just saying, we don't know, but that's just imagine that, 1,000 hits per second. Not bragging, just explaining why that the site was down. So, but speaking of popular things, people, events. Pastor Langford every Wednesday. This is his time now. And folks, what he's talking about tonight too, I'm thinking about his writing in Revelation 13 Revealed, the book which is available on thevoiceofevangelism.com. If you haven't read that book, boy, I'll tell you, Pastor Langford really does a great job in laying out the times in which we live. So I just want to really encourage people to not only support Pastor David Langford, his ministry, but really grab a hold of Revelation 13 Revealed, purchase his book, because it really lays out in simple terms, I believe, the time in which we're currently living.
With that, we have one more
segment
left. Thank
you, Doug. I appreciate that. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Pastor Langford.
I just wanted to thank Doug for that, because that means a lot to me, because we do try to make it simple. We don't want it to be difficult. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11:3, said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." This is supposed to be simple, where anyone that just has you know, common sense can understand the truth. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. All you have to do is be a Christian, and you can see the light, and you can see the darkness. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
But you know what, Pastor? I would like to say this. The simple to me when dealing with affairs of the Bible, it's not only good, but it's genuine. I mean, it's God has made it very simple in my view. In the choices that we're faced, that we have before us are very simple. Good versus evil. And with, through the simplicity in which the word has been given to us, oh, I'm sure, I know, we can study Genesis 6, and it's good to seek out, you know, the answers. It's good to seek out a matter. I understand that. But salvation is simple, I think. And Pastor, you really hit a home run with Revelation 13 revealed the simplicity of a somewhat complex topic, but making it so we can understand it, I can understand it. And the issue of salvation is apparent. So, thank you for that.
Well, you know, Doug, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom and knowledge, but in demonstration of power and of spirit, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." You know, Paul didn't try to convolute this thing and make it so theologically hard to be understood. You know, we have the Holy Spirit of God. What does he do? His office is to convict man, and the word convict simply means to convince you that you're lost, that you're unregenerated, that you're unredeemed, and you need to be regenerated. You need to be redeemed. And the Spirit conveys that message, and of course, we respond either by saying, "Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me of my sins," and we are born again, we are saved, or we spurn, we reject and say, "Hey, I'm not ready. You know, forget it. I'm going to go ahead and party and live my life, and when I get ready, I will come to you." Well, the problem with that theology is John 6:44 says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day." The Spirit of God has to constrain you and invite you. You know, you invite people onto your talk show. You know, there are those that would love to force their way in and make you give them a place, but you have the ability to say, "I choose so-and-so," or "I don't want so-and-so." Why? Because you have that authority. And, you know, if anybody has any common sense and you would invite them, they would take opportunity of that. And if God invites us through his Holy Spirit, we embrace the invitation. You know, that was the problem, the analogy at the wedding banquet. You know, everybody had an excuse. "Well, I bought a piece of land. Well, I bought a yoke of ox. I need to try them." One said he married a wife. And the king became angry because everyone he invited had an excuse why they wouldn't come. And then he closes that chapter out by saying, "Those that were bidden and did not come, they will not partake in this marriage feast." And so, you know, when the Lord invites anyone, it doesn't matter who you are, you need to respond correctly and say, "Yes, Lord, I want to come in and be a part of the kingdom of God." Because, you know, nobody knows how long God will contend or strive with him. Genesis 6:3 says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." No one knows how many opportunities they're going to get to be invited to this wedding banquet. And so you'll find that story in Luke chapter 14. And as I said, they all made excuse why they could not come. And then it says, the master of the house being angry. He got angry. That's when he said, "Go into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in that my house might be filled." And then he closes by saying, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." You know, they rejected the invitation, And so he rejected them when they wanted to come of their own will. That's why Hebrews 10:31 says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We don't play with God. God is sovereign. And God is sovereign right now in our nation, in our election. And you're going to witness God do one of the two things. Give us an opportunity, a respite, whatever you want to call it, or he's going to drive the nail in the coffin and say, you're done. I mean, he did that with Israel. I set before you this day life and death. There's no middle ground. You're either alive or you're dead. You may be struggling while you're living, but you are alive. And once the spirit leaves a person's body, that's how we know they're dead, because the spirit is gone, and they're what we term, they're deceased. They're called the decedent. Life has now terminated in that person's life. And that doesn't mean they cease to exist. That just means the old fleshly body died. But the person on the inside went somewhere for all eternity. Their spirit, their soul went somewhere into eternity, either with God or without God. And that's why it's so important. You know, life is nothing but a probation. Now, that's all life is. You know, I was when I was in the Branson some months ago doing some taping with Jim Baker, I met a young kid there in the general store. And he was probably 15 years old. He was a cameraman, camera guy. And I began to witness to him. And I told him, I said, young man, the Bible says in Psalms 89, we spend our years as a tale that is told, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And he looked at me kind of funny, and I said, see that calculator? He said, yeah. I said, pick it up. Multiply 365 times 70. 365 days in a year, 70 years. And you come up with a number of a little over 25,000. So when you look at your life at 70 years, you have a little over 25,000 days. Now, brother, that doesn't seem like much now, does it?
You know, I was a teenager when I heard that that number. I think it was 25,500 days, roughly the average lifespan. And I thought, yeah. Wow, that's a lot. And then,
yeah.
My age now, I think, wait a minute, not so much.
Well, 10 years is 3,650 days. If we have 10 years left, you and I have 10 years left, we have 3,650 days. That's not much time.
No, not at all.
So the brevity of time is unfathomable. I mean, it is so short. And so David understood it because he said, teach us to number our days. And as we all know, brother, they pass by faster the older you get.
Yeah, that sand really goes through the hourglass quickly as we age. And you know, sometimes I think it's a blessing. But I found myself, Pastor, I guess I'll be introspective or personal right now on the radio. But I found myself recently considering my mortality and thinking about, you know, what will my legacy be, and maybe this is too personal, but I think that at some point we have to really be serious about our legacy, about what we're doing, and that makes things like it puts everything in perspective. Because we have to, at least I believe, we have to be accountable to God for our actions and past in present actions, which will mold our future actions, if we have any future ahead of us. That's up to God, of course. It certainly puts things in perspective, and it certainly makes you not want to waste or squander any time. That's just my view.
Well, you and I both can relate to this, but I remember when I turned 40, I became very conscious of retirement. I had a plan when I was 25. I wanted to plan. I told my wife when she and I got married, I said, I want to be able to retire in 30 years, whether I retire or not. I want to work to that goal over the next 30 years. And it seemed like when I hit 40, the seriousness of retirement, you know, your years are getting lesser and lesser. Well, you get to be our age, and now we're thinking about, what is my legacy? I'm even asking my wife now, where do we want to buy cemetery plots? Why am I even thinking? Is that morbid? No. That is just good stewardship in behalf of my family, so I just don't dump all this burden on them at my demise. But to see the thinking and the thought process because of what I consider a God consciousness. You see, I watch all these people, Bernie Sanders, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, I watch all these people lie habitually. And these people are on up in years. Their days are really numbered. But the Bible says in Psalms 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. I believe a godly man is conscious of his years, of his time, of his stewardship. What are just like your life is now being used to affect people's lives for eternity. You know, God has been gracious to you and Joe and given you a platform. And so you're using it in a godly way, you know, not like Howard Stern with perversion, et cetera, but in a good way. Well, you know, what's going to be his legacy? You know, a legacy of perversion. What will be your legacy? What will be my legacy? I want it to be one, you know, the man may have been, you know, I know people think I'm hard and they think I'm too old school, but that doesn't bother me. God is old. God is as old as they gets. So I don't let it bother me when people say, well, he's old school. You know, well, hey, look how old God is. You cannot even imagine how old he is. And he says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord and I change not. So, you know, when I fell in love with Christ, my life changed. My convictions changed. My outlook in things changed. My perspective changed. Everything changed. Why? Because my conscience and my thinking is now persuaded and convinced by two fundamentally simple things, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. They affect my life every day. But the Spirit of God and the Word of God daily affect what I do. Look, for instance, I'm in a situation, telling a lie would be the simplest, quickest, best thing to do. But my God consciousness says, you can't do that. You got to tell the truth. And if you suffer, so be it. But you must tell the truth. Well, look at somebody like Hillary Clinton. Did you wipe your server? You mean with a cloth? And then we hear about the bleach and all of these. You see, there's no God consciousness there. Now, and here's what people need to understand. She does not know that she does not have a God consciousness. And I'll prove that by Romans 1:28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I've witnessed men before. I used to play golf years ago, twice a week. And I walked into clubhouses and saw guys sitting there drinking liquor, smoking cigars, and in their 70s and 80s, and overhear them just with the most vilest cursing. And I would walk out and I would say, does that guy realize how close he is to eternity? Yet he seems to not be affected by what he's doing, cursing and saying and living. Why can't he do that and not have a reverence? Because he has no God consciousness. Now, he doesn't know that. He doesn't realize saying GD every fifth word. He doesn't know that. Why? Because God has not dealt with that man in so long. He's forgotten there's such a thing as God and a day of accountability. You see? And so that's what it means to have a good conscience. You know, to so many people today, regretfully, their conscience does not bother them. And that's why they say and they do what they do. I mean, we are witnessing one of the greatest deficits of consciousness ever that in my lifetime, you know, how people can stand there and just lie and lie and lie and lie, and then, you know, 6 weeks later, you have emails, you have video recordings, you know, you have George Stephanopoulos interviewing Barack Obama, and Barack Obama says, I want to thank John McCain for not making my Muslim faith an issue. And then George corrects and says, oh, you mean your Christian faith? Oh, yeah, I mean my Christian faith. All of this is out there for everyone to see and hear, and it seems to not bother them at all. Well, it bothers me because I have a God consciousness.
Amen. Amen. That's all. Amen to that.
And while you were talking about that, Pastor, you know, it was going through my mind, and I don't know why I was thinking this, because I know what you're saying is completely different from this, but the New Age term of Christ consciousness that Oprah uses, and the New Age people who talk about, you know, raise our consciousness and our frequency, you know, to ascend to the higher. I don't know why that was going through my mind when you were saying that, but I just want people to understand that there is definitely a distinction between what Pastor Langford's saying and what the TV promotes as a Christ consciousness.
We're being pushed into that all is the same, all is one. You know, we're all under this massive, it may be called a Christ consciousness, but it's a false, fictitious consciousness that attempts to blend everything together. Yeah.
So that's so correct, Joe and Doug both. You see, there are two gods. There's Jehovah, and there's the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Believe not what? The truth. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So there is another deity out there. You can't argue that. His name is called Satan. He's called the God of this world. So what they don't understand, that is their God, and that's how their conscience is affected, that you can murder a baby and there's no accountability. You can tell a lie and there's no accountability. You can cheat and there's no accountability. But they still say, I have a God consciousness. Yes, you do, but it's not the right God. It's the God of death. See, you remember Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, I'm not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Jesus does not refute there's another deity out there. His name is called Lucifer in the beginning, bright, brilliant, shining one, Nahash in the Hebrew. And then he became Satan, the fallen one, the great red dragon, the serpent, the great serpent in Revelation. See, it's just he's the bad God, and Jesus is the good God. And so they want you to believe that there's just one God, but it's like a left hand and a right hand. It's like good and evil. It's like night and day, light and darkness. There's always the two. A battery has two terminals, two posts, negative and positive. Satan is negative. God is positive. So it is true. It's just delusional truth. It's not the real, pure, unadulterated truth. See, you know, people can tell you something, And on the veneer, it's true. But when you look beneath the veneer and you see, you know, like Nancy Pelosi, well, we've got to pass the legislation to find out what's in it. Well, that's about as dumb as it gets. But that's the stupidity in which these people operate. And to believe that somebody can make that statement and keep being reelected blows my mind. I mean, how do you keep putting somebody like that back in office who doesn't even know what they voted for?
True.
Wouldn't it be great if they had slipped something in there that they were all going to have themselves incarcerated and put in prison in 30 days, and they didn't know they voted for that? I guarantee you after that, everybody would read all the legislation.
I never quite thought of that before, but
I wish somebody would slide something like that in there. What's the truth?
Yes, indeed. Wow.
Yeah, wow. Just to see the Gang of Eight and the 535 and the executive branch, and even throw in the rest. We'll throw them all into that whole. Well, hey, Donald Trump said he's going to drain the swamp, and we all know what happens when you drain the swamp. I mean, it's assuming that, of course, that's going to happen. We, you know, it's going to be some interesting times ahead. Wow. Yes.
Can you imagine if he got in there and we got an honest-to-God, true general attorney, and he said, we're going to investigate all of this once and for all? We're going to get down to brass tacks? You see, I believe there are, like Trey Gowdy, I believe there are some good people up there. There's just a few of them.
Right.
But their hands are tied. But can you imagine if a righteous, like a righteous king like Josiah got in there and said, we're cleaning house? I mean, it would be unbelievable what God would do.
That would be a sight to behold. Yes, absolutely. What God would do. And I see too many people putting their faith in one man when in fact it's God working through that man. But it's all of us from the bottom up. But it's interesting because what you just said there, Pastor, with respect to, the legislation and of course the Attorney General. There was just a news nugget out there, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where Josh Earnest, the and I don't know if you saw this, Pastor, the spokesman for the White House said, used an odd phrase about, we're hoping that people don't feel or have to leave the country if Trump is elected, making it sound, well, whether it was a Freudian-type slip or what, I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it made it sound like extradition, though.
Right. You get the celebrities and the different talking heads are out there, oh, Hillary's elected, I'm leaving the country. But what you're talking about is completely different.
It had a different context to it.
And there was also speculation about Hillary moving money offshore and, but that's just speculation. But what he said was what you just talked about. It seemed like there was a lot more to it, especially since, if Trump does win the election and does not, turn around and do the complete opposite like everybody else I've seen get elected as president, he said he would go after these people. So is there a real worry on their part?
He's got his critics, and I'm aware of that. But look at it in the natural. And I'm just saying that. I know we're going to look at everything in the spiritual. But look at it in the natural. Why would a man making $400 million a year step down to a lesser jet airplane to fly around in and make $400,000 a year, 1% of what he makes now? What's the reason behind this?
And I don't know if you saw this, Pastor Langford. He said he would not take a salary as president.
Well, that's chump change to him.
Well, I know.
Well,
that's a good question, though. It's either, to me, it's one of two things. Either a really, really bad case of narcissism or a really good case of desiring to better the country in which we live.
You're spot on. It's either good or it's evil. There's nothing in between here. Either God is raising him up to do something good, or it's going to be something totally evil. And if that's the case, we might as well have Hillary.
True.
It won't make any difference in that context. So I believe God, listen, brother, God, Revelation 17:17, I've quoted this so many times, I know it's time to close the program. But Revelation 17:17, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. Proverbs 21:1, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. God can do what he wants to do.
Amen. Very well said. And what a apropos close. Pastor Langford, thank you for being our pastor at the Hagman and Hagman Report. I like to call you America's pastor because to me that's what you are. And but thank you for your gift of time, and certainly, Pastor, thanks along to your wife for graciously giving you the ability to come on the air tonight. And have a great conference.
Thank you.
And stay safe, please. And until next week, God bless, and thank you very much, Pastor.
Amen. God bless you. You have a wonderful night. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye. That'll do it, folks. Tomorrow night, Steve Quayle, hours 2 and 3.
And then Ted Breuer on Friday. Going to be a great week.
Yeah, that's right. So, folks, stay safe. Just prepare, 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 and saddle for battle.